Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Virgin and the Beast podcast. I'm your host, Serena, and this is the second part of a two-part episode series analyzing the movie 500 Days of Summer. So my friend Sophia and I rewatched 500 Days of Summer. We haven't seen it since it came out when we were like 13, and it was definitely a very different experience watching it as an adult. In the first part, we talk more about what we can learn from Tom and Summer's faulted relationship, as well as rejection, how it's handled in the movie, as well as our own experiences dealing with rejection, along with a couple other things like the nice guy trope and Tom's little sister and how her character is really great and other stuff too. And in this episode, we are going to talk more about if and how Tom and Summer grow as characters, as well as what the movie says about love, or at least our interpretations of it. When we were filming this as just a standalone episode, we ended up filming for over 3 hours. Even though I cut out an hour's worth of content, it still was just so much, so we decided to break it up into a part one and a part two. So yeah, enjoy the episode.
So I felt like he was miserable. Like, he was like, I gave up on my dreams. I hate my job. I hate everyone. My life is sad. Oh my God, there's a beautiful woman. She makes me happy. And I feel like he put all his happiness that was attainable in life on this person. And I think that this is a common trope that people tend to do, is they think happiness is only able to obtain through another person or through a relationship or through someone loving you. Which I think is weird too, because I feel like I've been more depressed in relationships than I have been while I was single. Nothing to do with my partner, just where I am in life, like trying to figure things out. But like, yeah, happiness comes from you, but you are gonna have an unhealthy attachment to a person if you think they are your only source of happiness. He says at one point, she is the only person in the entire universe that will make me happy. Because he is incapable of being happy on his own, and only she can make... That is so much pressure to put on an individual.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is not healthy. But yeah, and I just think that that's like something that people are like unhappy and they need someone to come in and save them. Like, that's such a damsel in distress mindset that like, I'm helpless. Come make me happy.
I think that that also kind of goes with, because I think there's this question of like, does he grow in the movie or not? And on that perspective, I think in that way, he does at least a little bit, because at some point towards the end of the movie, he quits his job. He starts doing architecture stuff. There's that scene where he is in his room after eating Twinkies and drinking whiskey. And then he starts drawing architecture, and then he is dressed in a suit and goes to a job. So he starts trying to take control of his own happiness. Yeah. And then he meets Autumn at the end. And that's another thing we can talk about, is the interpretation of that. Yeah. So that's a whole other thing to talk about, but just based off of what you were saying, I think if looking at that question of does he grow or not, I think looking at it through that lens, he does. What are your thoughts on that?
At the same time, I don't know if this is true. I think I want to ask your opinion. Do you think he's doing that to get her back?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think I'd have to rewatch that specific section. And that's the thing that's really cool about this movie, is I think some movies, you know, you just watch once and they're only like, you kind of get it for the most part. But then there are some movies where I feel like they're supposed to be watched over more than once, and they're supposed to be rewatched. And I think 500 Days of Summer is one of those movies that you could rewatch again and again and kind of like notice different things or interpret things in different ways. And so I think I'd have to rewatch that specific scene to see if there are clues or not. That was after the wedding. So
I think it was before.
I think it was before. No, because when he went to get the job interview, that was one of the last.
True, scenes. But he started getting into architecture, because remember, he got back into architecture and he was like sketching the skyline, thinking about the skyline. And that's why he was at that spot in the park. And that's when he ran into her.
Oh, you're right. He was in a suit when he ran into her. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I don't know. But I think that happened. That all happened
after he found out that she was engaged, because that was the big breaking point when he was at the expectations versus reality, which was after the wedding. Then that, I think everything was kind of like, you know, leading up to that point. And then he saw the ring on her finger, and that's when he storms out and gets lost in there. the street. Yeah. When they were in the train, she asked him, are you still working for so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes. And then once he sees the ring on her finger, then he goes out into the street and everything kind of goes to gray. And that's when he has the, you know, Twinkies and he's late to work. And then he's like, greeting cards suck. And then he quits. And then, so it is afterwards, actually. So,
and thinking about it, like my expectation of what I remember him being really upset that she got married and being like, that's her life. You guys are broken up. Like, why are you upset? But looking back on it and rewatching it, I was like, oh wait, I would be mad though, because they got married like 30 days after they broke up. If I was with, they weren't together like a crazy amount of time. It was like a year and a half on and off.
Yeah.
Which isn't like, I don't know, like a, I don't know. It's a solid amount for a relationship. And if I dated someone for that long and I was really into them, well, I mean, like they're not like officially in a relationship, but they have a relationship with each other. You know, like they have a thing going. And they're like, they don't like specify it, but it seems very much so that they're only sleeping with each other, you know?
Yeah. And I think that was one of his concerns, is like, oh, like, you know, you're going to wake up one day and not wake up, but you're going to go to a place one day and you're going to see Lars from Norway, is what his sister's. But yeah, I think, I don't know if they had specified afterwards. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'm just
going. No, you're absolutely fine. But yeah, I just would feel a lot of hurt from that.
Yeah. I think sometimes like people can sympathize with Tom, at least on a first watching. And I think in that moment, at that end of the expectations versus reality scene, is one of the scenes where people do feel kind of sympathetic towards Tom. If at any point in the movie people feel betrayed by Summer, I think it's at that moment, because she didn't tell Tom that she was like in this serious relationship when they had just like flirted at this wedding.
Because I would be mad if I was the person she was getting married to and she was off like flirting with her like sort of ex.
But something that I was reminded of about the whole growth thing was at the beginning of their interaction at the park, when they're both dressed up nicely and, you know, the expectations versus reality scene has already happened and they meet at that park and have that last interaction. At the beginning, he says, I guess I should say congratulations. And she's like, well, only if you want to. And then he doesn't say anything. But then at the end of that interaction, as they're leaving, he says, Summer, like, I really do hope you're happy, as she's walking away. And I think that does show some growth just from the beginning of the conversation to the end.
Yeah. And my roommate got mad when she like touched his hand, because they like kind of held hands there for a moment, but I didn't think that was mean. I thought that was very much so, like, because she was doing a really good job of communicating where she was, why she was there, and what happened. Like, it wasn't him, she just woke up and knew, and that's completely fair. And it was very much so like, I still care about you as a person and I want you to be happy and you're gonna get through this.
Yeah, I also took it as like a comforting touch rather than, but maybe someone could interpret that as leading on. But I think at that point, like, he knows that she's engaged to someone else. And
that was the first time he listened to something he didn't want to hear.
Showing growth. Speaking of growth, that's a good point. I didn't really think about that, but.
And yeah. I think that this is something that's so true too. Like, after the first time your heart shatters, like, you learn so much about relationships and like, I don't know, I feel like it's a real maturing moment. You don't have to have that moment to be mature or like to have a like super healthy relationship. I know people that like marry their first ever boyfriend or girlfriend or partner, and I think that's wild that people can do that. But it's like, go them, you know?
Yeah.
But like, honestly, like, I feel like I learned so much about relationships from my heart being shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that led to a lot of growth from me. It wasn't fun growth, but I grew.
Yeah. Yeah, well, growth isn't usually fun. Sometimes it is, but there's usually pain and discomfort associated with growth. Even physical growth, growing pains. I mean, that's the whole, you know, people talk about growing pains, both physical and emotional. So,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I hope he grew. But at the same time, I felt like the ending was a marker that he didn't really grow. Like, that's what I remember thinking the first time I watched it. And that's what I remember feeling when I saw it the second time. That it wasn't that he was like, and I feel like that's the point of the name. It's not that he grew and is now able to have this relationship. I just felt like it was the first day of the next cycle.
Yeah, like a new season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So that's why I want to talk about this, because I can kind of see both ways. Like, I, especially because the name is like, oh, what comes next? Autumn. So it's like a season. But it's also like, oh, it's, you know, moving forward. And when it starts on the next day one of autumn, it's like even brighter and cheerier. And there's that thing of like, oh, does he really grow? Because now he's like, you know, placing the object of affection in someone else. Like, you could kind of interpret it as like, oh, that Romeo thing where, oh, Summer was Rosalind or Rosalind. I forget exactly if her name was Rosalind or Rosalind, but the first one.
Say it fast. Nobody knows which one you're saying.
Exactly. Rosalind. And, maybe Autumn is Juliet, but I also kind of thought, and I wrote this down, so I'm going to look at my notes about how, because with Summer, like, she just like walked in, and I actually wrote down this quote. When she walked into the office, the narrator says, he knows almost immediately she's who he's been searching for. And he says that before even like talking to her and meeting her, just seeing her across the way. And I feel like throughout the story is he's placing this want and need and expectations on her. And throughout, she like kind of subverts those or tries to subvert those, which I think is really interesting, is another thing to talk about. Sorry, I'm just like tripping all over my words when I get excited. But at the end, it was more balanced. She was the one who kind of initiated at first, started talking to him. And there was more of a balance between the two. And he was walking in, when he came back, he asked her like, hey, do you want to go somewhere after this? Which before, he was hesitant to like even ask Summer out, because there was that conversation where they're like, why don't you just ask her out? He's like, as if like me ask her out, like, what do you think I am? You can't do that. Those aren't the rules, you know? So he was mature enough to just ask her out when meeting her. And it shows her, I thought this was really interesting, because they didn't have to do this. She said no at first. And then she changed her mind and said, you know what? Yeah, because she said, I'm supposed to meet someone after this. But actually, like, yeah, why not? And so it was her making, like, her very clearly having agency in that moment. And like, they didn't have to do that. If it was just a normal rom-com, they could have just had her being like, yeah, sure, I'd love to go, you know, let's go. But she like had that moment of hesitation, which I thought was really interesting. And I thought it kind of put them more on equal footing at the beginning and showed her having agency and them making decisions together, rather than Summer and him, where he was just making all these decisions and not listening to her and hearing what she was saying. So I don't know. I just, that was my,
both of them did initiate contact with him both times.
Yeah, wait, when did Summer initiate contact?
They were in the elevator together and she was like, Smiths, I love the Smiths. Right, but he was right, ignoring her. Which I thought was funny is like, cause I don't think, I don't know, like, I've always been bold. Like, if I like someone, I'll tell them. I don't think I've ever waited for someone to necessarily make a move. Cause I hate that idea that like girls can't make the first move, but I do think it's not like necessarily like he likes it when women make the first move. I think he's incapable of like starting a conversation with a girl.
Fair enough. Yeah. I actually forgot about that, but yeah, I think my interpretation was just, he wasn't even really thinking about her. There was no narrative voice saying like, she's the one, before she started talking to him. Then they have that flirtatious thing. Whereas with Summer, he just like sees her and is like, oh yes. But yeah. Then, oh, she's a skank cause she's hot. And like, but I forgot about that. The whole Smith conversation in the elevator. That's a good point.
Okay. You know what? Something I do want to discuss with you, when he goes on that date with that poor, wonderful woman.
That was such a great scene. Oh my God. Yes. Let's please talk about that. What were you going to say about it? First of all,
she was so interesting, super nice, like beautiful. Went to Brown, I think, and is like trying to have a conversation with him. And he like will only talk about his ex. And then it's like, he says, she took a giant shit on my chest. And then she goes, well, what happened?
Literally? And he's like, no, not literally.
Yeah, he like gets pissy with her. And then, but also he like tells the story and I forget what she said, but she said something like, well, it sounded like she communicated with you.
Yeah, no, I wrote it down. Let me, oh my God. No, I just wrote blind date scene, reality check. And that's all I wrote. I didn't write down the quote, but.
And then the other thing is immediately after she says that, he goes, I have a great idea. And then I forget what they do after that, but he just karaoke. Did not listen to her. Oh yeah, karaoke.
Yeah.
But he just did not compute what he said. Every time someone says something in the words of his younger sister that would shatter his illusion, he can't compute.
Yeah. Yeah. That was such a great quote. As you said, like, I think it was something like, let me get this straight. Like, she never cheated on you. Oh, no, he says, he's like, either she's like an evil, horrible, wretched person, or she's a robot. And that's that thing of the nice guy kind of like villainizing someone. Oh, and villainizing people who want casual relationships. That's another topic to talk about. But he kind of like paints her very, very poorly. And she's like, let me get this straight. She never cheated on you. She says, no, she's like, she never did anything to what she said, bring you harm. Or she never like, I forget exactly what she said, but like, she never like went out of her way to like hurt you or something like that. And he says, mm-hmm. No. And it's, I think that's where moments like that in the film are what make me feel like the film is a subversion of the type of guy that Tom is and calling some criticism to those behaviors rather than amping those up. Cause there's some mm-hmm. reviews of the movie where they're like, oh, like this is a problematic movie because it glorifies people in Tom's positions. But there's moments like that where I'm like, I feel like it turns out ahead of it.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you by disagreeing with the statement.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's a satire on rom-coms. Like he is the character in the rom-com and this is how it would work in real life. I think it reminds me of Romeo and Juliet so much in that way. And I wrote about it too. Is Romeo and Juliet, I think personally, is a satire on love. And I think they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And I also do want to say, I do really, really appreciate this. That, because I feel like it's the other way around in movies. I feel like normally it's the guy that wants a casual relationship and the girl wants like to be like exclusive and like have titles and like, you know, and wants to get married and he like doesn't want to get tied down. And that really bothers me because I feel like, I don't know, it just like paints like women in a picture that they like are the person with less power and like need the other person to complete them and isn't a full character on their own and like is wanting, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just really enjoyed it that it was the girl that like feels really good about herself as an individual, doesn't need anyone, communicates that she doesn't want to be tied down because she's living her life and she's happy that way and she doesn't need to change that for anyone else. And then she found someone that made her happy, so she decided that she was gonna do that because that's what worked out for her and made her happy and it felt good for her. And that's like an awesome, like, she was very like knew who she was, knew what she wanted, and I thought that was awesome. And it was cool that that was the female character.
Yeah. Yeah. That those role, stereotypical roles that you'd see in a movie like that were reversed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It was really refreshing to see that. And I like that perspective of this is what would happen if a rom-com type person was placed in the real world. And you even see little bits of that with like the day after they have sex and there's a musical number and even like what's it, like a cartoon bird comes over and it's a very much like a Disney-esque moment without it being so, or like a rom-com moment too. And yeah, cause I feel like, as you said, I think a lot of people either have or in the past could have related to Tom on some level of just some of the like romanticism, maybe not to the extent that he is, but
no,
some
he's
of
totally
the-
relatable, but he's an exaggerated relatable, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Summer, as I said, like she kind of gets placed in these, in the certain viewpoint by him, but she continues to subvert that as I feel like someone might do in real life as well. If you were to place like expectations and needs and wants onto them without properly communicating and hearing what they're saying.
I feel like He expected the relationship to mean as much to her as it did to him, which it obviously didn't based off their communication. Like, he wanted her to be the one for the rest of his life, and she was like, I don't even want to be in a relationship. And so I feel like he was heartbroken that she got moved on so fast when he had not moved on at all. And it was because, A, the relationship was, he was much more invested in the relationship, but also she was checked out of the relationship for like 2 months. Are you not shocked? All we've been doing is fighting for the last 2 months. Like, there, nothing's good. Like, I have not been happy. And he was like, yeah, it's just a phase. But she was like, I feel like, I don't know, her heart was not in it for a while. And then I feel like he was really hurt, which I still think that that is pretty fast to get married. Like, not judgment on her, but that would come as a huge shock to me as well. Yeah. But she was not checked into the relationship for a long time after that. She was already getting over him. And he was like blindsided.
Yeah. And I think that is something that a lot of people can relate to or feel sympathetic about, is that heartbreak of someone moving on faster than you. But yeah, there's also, as you said, like, she, it makes more sense that she moved on so quickly because she had kind of started to emotionally detach, or not emotionally, she was already pretty emotionally detached throughout, but she had started to, she was, as you said, emotionally checking out way before he was. And something that I kind of would like, and I think I tweeted this, I don't go on Twitter very much. I just go on, like, peek my head into the Twitter world like every couple months, but I tweeted this right after I rewatched it. And I said, I would love to see a 500 Days of Tom where we're told the story from Summer's perspective.
Yeah.
And also it'd be cool to see her, how she falls in love with,
the
other guy.
And like how that relationship is different than the relationship with Tom. I keep on forgetting his name is Tom. And you say Tom, I'm like, who's he?
Who's he? What do you think his name is?
I know Summer's name. I don't know his
name. He's Winter.
Literally.
One thing that I thought was interesting was that scene that's in black and white when everyone's talking about their current partner. If you remember that scene, like the friends, even the boss, they're all saying something about love or their current partner. And one of the friends is talking about the girl that he's been with since like middle school or something, or elementary school, or really, really young. They fell in love really young. And he's talking about how he's like, yeah, I guess the girl of my dreams would like have a bodacious rack or something like that. But he's like, but he said, I think the girlfriend's name is Robin or something. He's like, Robin's better than the girl of my dreams. She's real. And I thought that was like, it's a very interesting contrast to Tom and Summer's relationship. And yeah, but there were other things that other people said. It was just interesting. And at the end it shows Tom and he can't even say anything. Like, everyone said something and he just tries to talk and then he just like doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting scene because I think everyone had a weird idea of love.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like this is a weird world. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. Every time he said something, I felt like, especially in that scene, I was like, ooh, I don't like him. Oh, I like him. Oh, I don't like him. Oh, I like him. I don't know. Like, it was like very up and down. Like, it was like a, this is what my dream woman is. And then I was like, this feels weird. And then he's like, but my woman is better than my dream woman. And then I was like, oh, I want to go. And then I felt like he was like, because she's real. I was just like, because she's obtainable. To, like, I just felt like it was like him saying he was like lowering his standards because.
Oh.
He could like have her. Does that make sense?
Interesting. I took it as like a foil to Tom. Like, yeah, Summer was obviously a real person, but he was constructing a lot of who he thought she was and what she wanted in his mind. And he like, it almost like his idea, like he was trying to make Summer his ideal person.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy's like, she's real and I see her for what she is and love her and accept that. And that makes her better than any ideal person. But that's also a really interesting way of interpreting it as well.
Playing off of what you're saying about him having this idea of who she is that's not necessarily real, it's what he's making. I think that's super true, because when he's talking about all the things he's infatuated with her about, I say infatuated because he's saying he loves everything about her, but it's all physical things, and it's all things he's infatuated about. But the fact that she's a free spirit that doesn't want to be tied down is essential to who she is and how she approaches the world, and that's something he disregards about her, and therefore doesn't love who she is and how she approaches the world, which I think is important about loving someone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense.
It's like he like disregards her personality, because her personality is against what he wants.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I'm gonna read more of my notes. I don't want someone else to have.
That's a great point, yeah.
Oh, can we take a moment for Vagiant?
Yes, yes.
At one point in the movie, they go to a movie that's called like Vampires
Meet Giants.
Meet Giants? Vagiants?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'd go to that movie too. I'd probably get drunk beforehand though. It's not a movie I would want to see sober.
Yeah, that was great. There's also that, like, he's watching a French film and he's like a knight in shining armor. I think he views himself as like a knight in shining armor, which especially reality, during the fight scene. He's the
opposite. He is a damsel in distress.
Yeah, in the scene he's like playing chess with Cupid, and Cupid's like, better luck next time, bitch.
That's what was happening?
Yeah.
I thought he was just playing with a child, and I was like, that's a sassy child. That was my whole thought. I was so confused what was happening.
That's so funny. I mean, I think it's Cupid because it was dressed up like it had like the Cupid like attire, and it's kind of like, oh, like yeah, you fall to
that
love.
Makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Just a nudge.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think he definitely thinks of himself as like the knight in shining armor, especially when he punches that guy. And I know I already talked about it, but like, that is the epitome of, I don't know how to communicate with words, so I'm gonna punch you randomly at the end of the interaction. Like, also, if you were going to punch him, at least punch him when he's being an asshole, you know? Like, the situation is resolved. He's gone back and stopped annoying you, you know? Like,
yeah.
Why are you
to be fair, irritating. He did punch him right after he was walking away and he said something. I think he said, like, I can't believe this is your boyfriend. But that was an insult to him, yeah. Not an insult to her.
Oh my God, that makes me so much more mad. And then he, like, wants to be praised for it. And it's just so irritating. When in reality, I think the adult way of situating is just be like, excuse me, she clearly doesn't want your attention and you're disrupting our evening. I'd really appreciate it if you went back to the group you were with. Like, yeah. It's words. Where are your words, sir?
I think that as you were saying, it's that he's that's like something he's seen as like, oh, someone insults you and your girl, you punch them and get in a fight. Like, I think that was him trying to be a knight in shining armor and following these scripts and being that rom-com character, mm-hmm. and that disconnect between rom-com character in a rom-com versus rom-com character in real life.
Yeah. And I think it's so funny because he does feel like the knight in shining armor, but the whole plot of the movie is, look at this sad person that's sad in life and someone comes in and saves them and makes them happy. He is the damsel in distress through and through.
Can we talk about, so a lot of people talk about with this movie is like called the manic pixie dream girl. Have you heard of that term?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I just think of, what's her name from Twilight every time?
Oh,
Alice. Is that her name? Alice?
I don't know. Maybe we're thinking of different things. I'm thinking about.
No, you know the girl that sees the future? Pixie cut.
Oh, no. No, I'm not talking about pixie haircut. I'm talking about, so there's this trope.
I know it's not her haircut, but she's like that total like whimsy, like skips around and is like, I don't know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everyone liked her because she was the manic pixie dream girl.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's okay. That makes sense. I think we have different interpretations of what a manic pixie dream girl is, but that does make a lot of sense. I think that's, so what I've kind of, something that I heard was that manic pixie dream girl, kind of like sometimes it's like they exist to, like, they come into a guy's life who's depressed and they like give them a reason for living. And now they're like, life is great. And they only exist to like help serve the main character to like,
we have, I had a very, yeah. I'm not Manic Pixie Dream Girl's like, hi, I'm quirky.
that makes a lot of sense though. Guys fall in love with
me because I'm quirky. And that's what the overarching themes. This is a straight man
I see that too. That actually makes a lot of sense with the thing. Maybe it's both. But yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Your interpretation sounds like what the word is, like Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Yeah. Sounds like that.
I feel like that's the definition, that's the tip of the iceberg, and your definition is the whole concept.
Maybe the bottom half of the iceberg rather than the whole concept, and the two together make a whole concept.
But I feel like that is such a thing that's like romanticized in men, is like, oh, this girl sees the world different. And yeah, it's like, it's almost like fetishized in a romantic way, you know, like not in a sexual way, but like, if you're quirky, then I want to marry you. If you're not quirky, then I just want to have sex with you. But the second you say you do something weird, I'm buying rings, baby.
That's so fun. Like, if you're quirky, then I want to marry you. If you're not quirky, then I do want to have sex. Like, that was such a good line. And yeah, I think that goes back to that idea of like the objectification of a woman rather than like seeing and appreciating all that she is.
Also, I don't know. Sorry, I'm trying to think back. So, of like, I don't know. So I haven't been like dating and single for like that much of my adult life. Cause like, I feel like I was incapable of dating in high school. And then I realized I've been with a partner for Valentine's Day, every Valentine's Day since I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
Which is wild to think about. Yeah, I haven't been single in a while. And even when I was single, I wasn't really mingling. Like, I feel like every time I've gotten in a relationship, I was like, I'm at a point where I'm not looking for anything. And I felt like I spent all of high school looking for something and then being like, it would be slapped across the face and I'd be like, huh? Like, this guy I really like tried to kiss me. And I just like, I talked to him about it like a year later and he was like, why didn't you lean in? And I was like, oh, I was supposed to do that. Like, I just didn't know how to handle that. I do not think I was in the mind space, but I felt like I needed someone to like care about me, to complete me. You know what I mean? Which I feel like is where this guy is. And that's why I relate to it when I was going through puberty, but he's an adult. Anyways, I'm like thinking back to times where I was single. You know how like you like talk yourself up about like the positive, like attractive attributes about yourself? You're like, I'm so cool, like someone's totally gonna want to date me because I'm so cute because I say this, you know? And I felt like I needed to like play up the quirky parts of me. Like, you need to be quirky for someone to like you.
Aww.
I think I'm quirky though, so it works out.
Yeah, but kind of saying like, oh, I have to be this way in order for someone to like me is, yeah.
Well, it's not like I felt like I needed to not be me, because they were all attributes of me. They're all things I do. Like, it's not like I'm exaggerating or lying. But I feel like that was the part that I needed to, like, put forward, you know?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. That does.
Yeah. Whereas, like, now I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not trying to, like, flirt with anyone, but I feel like I have a lot of, like, desirable attributes other than that.
Aw, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you. Now I feel like my tenacity is my number one strong suit, other than, look at me, I'm different.
I'm not like the other girls. But no, you're a multifaceted person, and so, you know, you don't have to, maybe, well, I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but feeling like you don't have to just kind of play up one side of yourself.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's also like I felt like I could be me as a person, but that was gonna be the reason why someone fell in love with me. Versus like, I have so many other attributes for someone to love me.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yay.
I feel like, what's it called? You know, I forget what it's called. They talk about it in TV shows all the time, where it's like, you're that person's like person before they get married, like they're like stepping stone or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I feel like, is it doormat? But like, I feel like they're each other's like first real relationship that they learn from. And then they go and have happy relationships.
Yeah. Well, that I'm thinking about Summer when she was talking about her previous relationships. There's three relationships that she talked about. I wonder if she learned anything from them. Because he asked her, like, what happened?
None of them sounded serious.
Yeah, you know? I guess that's true, actually.
Because, like, yeah. I don't really remember, but I remember there was, like, one or two in high school. And they didn't sound like they landed really long. There was one when she was studying abroad, so I think it was just a fling.
It was very physical when she described it.
Yeah. I don't think she had been in an emotional relationship before. Yeah. And I think she felt she felt emotionally vulnerable with him, but I think that she really saw him more as a friend.
Yeah. That's right. She did say, like, I've never shared that with anyone before, and she did, have that emotional breach. I don't know if that's the right word, but maybe they were each other's stepping stone, and she just stepped onto the next stone faster than he did.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so here's a thought. So I feel like I initially watch it and I feel like she means so much to him, but he doesn't mean anything to her, like, long term, like, there's nothing deep meaning. But I look back at it and I think that he did mean a lot to her, and the reason why is because I feel like he was her stepping stone. Like, I feel like she was very much so someone that was closed off. And you saw that when she brought him into her house. Like, they, like, showed it was very undecorated. Like, she had never brought anyone there. Like, there was just, like, decorations on the floor. She never put anything up, which very much so means that that's not someplace that she brings people to. And I feel like he did open her up. And I feel like he did change her mindset of love because of how much he believed in love. And I think that's reflected in their last conversation when he says that he gave up on love. And she was like, no, like, I believe in love now. Like, I believe in the love that you believed in. But anyways, and I think that you can see that growth because she starts out with a house that no one would go to. But at the end, she invites him to a party at her house. Mm-hmm. She opened her whole world up to her house, which really shows that she's much more in an open place and is much less closed off, which is also, like, showing that she's, like, ready to get married in the sense of, like, she's ready to share her life with someone because she feels more open and comfortable with those things.
Yeah, that's a beautiful point. I had realized that when she was hosting the party, rewatching, I'm like, oh, there had been that whole narrative sequence where he said, oh, no one had been here before, people don't come here often. And I'm like, well, that's, at first I was thinking maybe that's showing how his viewpoint was different or wrong. And looks, there are all these people here, but I think your interpretation makes a lot more sense and weaves together with that conversation on the bench. Kind of, we were just talking about how has Tom grown or not, and thinking about Tom growing as a character, also realizing that Summer has grown too, even if it's not as obvious at the beginning, or maybe it is as obvious. I don't know, but
she grows more than he does.
Yeah. Well, she goes from someone who doesn't want a relationship to getting married. I feel like in a lot of rom-coms and in society in general, there's usually this notion that people who want casual sex are the villain and that's bad. And it's, like, looked down upon. And I understand that if there's a lack of communication and someone fully knows that the person that they're with wants a relationship and they lead them on to think that they do when they don't, like, that is obviously, like, problematic and is, like, quote unquote villain character. But if someone, like, in this scenario, Summer, like, the entire time was saying that she just wanted a casual relationship, and then her not wanting a relationship and just wanting to continue a, like, friends with benefits situation is seen as bad by Tom, even though she communicated that that's what she wanted the entire time. And
in his words, she took a giant shit on my chest.
Yeah, exactly. By wanting a casual relationship and saying that, I do agree that there were times where she did kind of lead him on a little bit and she did give some mixed signals, but throughout, she was mostly saying, I mean, every time she actually, like, communicated with her words, she said, I don't want a serious relationship.
Yeah. I think the only part that you could give her, like, that much, like, much of, like, a villain, like, narrative is if you presented, like, in my mind, that you were like, okay, you should know that he is incapable of having this kind of relationship because he's never going to listen to you and he's head over heels in love with you. But that's also, like, treating her as if she's the adult in the situation, he's a child, and she needs to make the executive decision of what's best for the child, rather than having an equal relationship where you communicate your wants, your needs, and how what you're capable of, and what your expectations out of this are.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, is that it shouldn't be, like, relationships, it should be both people meeting. Yeah. Well, I guess I should take out shoulds from my vocabulary, but... rather than one person.
You should take out shoulds exactly. Out of your vocabulary.
Ironic. But yeah, rather than one person having to carry the maturity weight of the relationship, it should be both people kind of meeting each other and carrying that weight. And I think you said this, I don't know if it was earlier or when we were talking just on the phone, but rather than like one person being at fault, it is kind of like they've both kind of made some like mistakes. And yeah, and I think she even says that, as in, like, at the very beginning when they're talking, not the very beginning, but at the bar when they're doing karaoke, and his friend and him are talking to Summer, and she says, like, you know, love is messy and people get their feelings hurt. And I think that very much shows, like, between the both of them.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I just think that, yeah, like, there were times where she led him on. And there were times where she could have communicated more. But she did communicate, you know? And, like, to villainize her for not communicating more than she was already actually communicating for someone who was horrible at communicating, they also cannot listen, so it wouldn't have made a difference anyways. It's just, like, such a, like, a holding someone to such a higher standard than the other person, which is why, I go back to my original point. It's your... expecting her to act like an adult in a situation with a child.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like the other mental thing,
child, not a literal child.
Yeah. a mental maturity of a child. And the other thing is like, yeah, like, I'm a relationship person, and it's not because I don't think anything else is okay, and like, I'm not judgmental towards anything, but like, that is how my emotion, I know that I can't hook up with people because I'm an emotional person, and it takes me a really long time to open up to someone for things like that. And so that's just like not how I operate as a person. And so I like to also friend zone people for a long time. And I say that in it's a Sophia friend zone kind of way, where I know someone likes me and they know I like them, and we operate as friends for a while, because I need to make sure that they know, and I also communicate this, that I'm a long-term relationship person, and you gotta like me for a long time if you want to date me. I'm not gonna date you for a month or two. That's not really like how I like to work, except for my one really weird dating that I forget about, that I'm
you were growing, talking about, you were learning.
Yeah, I tried something new and I learned it wasn't for me, and I know that now. But yeah, and so like, if someone told me that they weren't looking for a relationship, I'd be like, okay, I'm like Tom in the sense of if I'm gonna date someone, it's gonna be the possibility to marry them, because that's how I operate. I'm a long-term relationship person. If I heard that, I'd just walk away. Like, that's on me. That I don't know. Like, if I'm going to get with someone and I know that I want a relationship and I know they don't want a relationship, and then I'm like, oh, you didn't communicate that more in between. Well, maybe I should have checked in more, because I knew that this was the situation where I could have got my heart stopped. But also, I would just walk away. I wouldn't enter that. Like, there would be no reason for that, because I know that I would be hurt by that. Yeah. And I also get, like, the idea that, like, I don't know, like, in a sense of, like, I want to say, like, they're talking about, like, ideal partners. Like, yeah, I feel like you walk in with this idea of an ideal partner. And, I mean, like, the person you meet is never going to be your exact ideal partner. And I've totally entered relationships, like, wanting to change something about someone. And I'm not saying, like, personality-wise, I want them to be a bit different person. But I want them to, like, grow in a certain aspect, and they're not... Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, in a sense, I want them to see my perspective more, like, something about that. But also, like, people in relationships are growing and changing. I think that I come in expecting that I'm going to change people's minds sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm going to shape them a little bit, which isn't necessarily, like, completely healthy, but we're also human and we come in with expectations. But I think it's also healthy to know that those expectations aren't going to become reality, you know? And that's something that you need to be mindful of, like, I don't know, that doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But when you merge, like if you enter a long-term relationship, I think you merge your mindsets a little bit and change perspectives of someone from spending a lot of time with someone you see their point of view. And I also think that people grow in relationships and it's possible for people to change throughout relationships. And so I don't think it's like horrible to have small minuscule expectations of things like that. And I've had that, but I've also like, I don't know, like you can go in with the idea that someone could change, but you can't go in with the expectation that someone will definitely change. And I feel like he comes in with the definition that she's going to change her idea on love based off of his, which is exactly what happens, but not in his favor in the slightest.
Yeah.
Did any of that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it did. But I just lost my train of thought of what I was going to say to respond to. But yes, it did make sense. Oh, yes. I remember what I was going to say. It's like that expectations versus reality scene. Mm-hmm. And or it goes back to that at least. And yeah, you can have expectations, but know that they won't always align with reality and that you need to be okay with the reality aspect of it as well.
But it is, I 100% agree. But I also think that there's a difference between thinking you're going to change someone's mindset on how they see football versus how they fundamentally approach relationships.
Yes.
Like, I just think, it's just absolutely wild. Yeah.
And the cool thing is that when Summer does meet her husband, it comes up completely. It's, she says it takes her by surprise and she, you know, I wasn't expecting this and he wasn't necessarily like, didn't seem like she had any expectations of him or for him. It just like, it just happened. And
And I think that's great because she walked in, she explained in the beginning, she has zero expectations out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it surprised her, which is great. Sorry.
Which is the opposite of Tom, who has all the expectations for love.
They're on opposite narratives. He comes in with this beautiful belief on love and she comes in with this fundamental non-belief in love. And they have a little backstory on like how they grew up to that like idea. And then he at like the end has no belief in love and she has all this belief in love. And then they have that conversation sitting on the bench at the end where she explains his perspective, her perspective and how like in a sense he kind of inspired her in a way to believe in love because it's the love he believed in. And I feel like that is like kind of like a beautiful like it's a really nice closure piece without many words.
Yeah,
I think it's nice because it's like I think he's able to see things a little more clearly and isn't like she's not a raging villain.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's reflected in him at the end saying as well, like, I really do hope you're happy.
Yeah. And him like, because I feel like he needs to learn and accept that she was not happy with him. And she told him that.
Yeah. That line, you said it earlier, but the like, why him? And she was like, I was sure of what I was never sure of with you. And that line, when you first hear it, it's like, oh my God, that hurts. Like, but it is a really good line.
It's completely accurate. Sometimes the truth hurts. But like in reality, like, I feel like relationships are so wild because you can really care about someone and think it's going to work for all the right reasons, but there's something missing. And I think it's also so important that it's like sometimes, and I've seen couples and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are perfect for each other. Like you make each other so happy. Like you're a beautiful couple. But sometimes our futures don't align. Like there's so many things that have to add up. And then suddenly you have to sacrifice your wants and needs and what makes you fulfilled in your life for someone that really does make you happy. But I don't know, if your lifetimes don't align, then that's not going to be a happy relationship. It has nothing to do with how you guys mesh as a couple. You know what I mean? I know there's just like so many things that go into being in a relationship to expect it to just work out because you're infatuated with someone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that really was on point of what we were talking about.
No, that makes sense. I think that totally relates to Tom's. I think that really relates to Tom's perspective on love versus the reality of it. Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the fact that it's a satire on love. And I definitely think it relates to my idea of Romeo and Juliet. And I thought it was really funny. Because at one point, what did he say? So they're like talking about their expectations out of what's happening and they're like having their first communication and she says, I'm not looking for anything serious, and this is on day 10, and he goes, we'll take things slow. Which I just like is them being so much on the wrong page, because she is saying she doesn't want a serious relationship, and he is saying we're gonna work really slowly at that serious relationship.
Disconnect from day 10.
Which I just think is funny, because I think how he dates is very much so how I date, with none of the expectation. You know what I mean? Like I like to move slowly and I like to do those things, but also like you gotta listen to the person and what they're saying. They did not start off on the right page.
If you can't listen to someone, then a relationship wouldn't be successful, which I mean, in this case, it isn't.
One thing I thought was really interesting is they show the breakup in the beginning as them sitting down at a restaurant. They'd already ordered food, waiting for their food, and she just looks up with him at him and breaks up with him, and then they deliver their food, and then she's like, oh, this is delicious. He's like, my heart shattered in a million pieces. I can't eat right now. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that is a horrible way to break up with someone. That's horrible. But then they show the rest of the day, and I'm like, oh, that makes way more sense. They were like kind of being weird beforehand, and then she's like, he sees that she's distant and is like, do you want to talk about it? And she's like, no, I'm tired, I just want to go home. And I think she doesn't want to talk about it, she just wants time alone to like think and process. And he's like kind of insistent that they hang out together. He's like, we're gonna go get food. And she's like, okay, but she's already said like once or twice that she wants to go home, she's not feeling great. And then they're at dinner and it's really awkward because she's still feeling weird. And I totally get that when you have something to say and you can't sit around, you know, and like hang out with someone for a long time before you say it. And I get that she wanted to go home and not go and get food. So I was like, nah, yeah, that wasn't a crappy way to break up with someone, but it really looked like it at first.
Yeah. And that's something that's super cool about the film, the way that throughout how it shows certain things and then shows the other side of things, and your perspective kind of shifts throughout as you watch. One thing that I did want to say, or I can say it at the end because it's kind of like more of a summary thing.
I don't have anything else to say, so if you don't have anything else to say, go for it.
At the beginning, they say, this is a story of boy meets girl. And I think that's a very accurate depiction, right? Because it sums it up very well. It's not a love story, they say that. And it's not really from Summer's perspective, but it really is boy meets girl. It's not girl meets boy. It's not equal love story. And I think it's also saying that like a lot of the rom-coms are boy meets girl or girl meets boy, not necessarily love story, because it's only from one person's perspective.
Yeah, and it's very much so she comes in and this whole world revolves around her, but her world never revolves around him. And then the other thing is so I watched it on Hulu and it had a description before the movie started, and I wrote it down, and it says a romance between two young office employees is charted across its roller coaster duration in a tale of love and heartbreak. But I mean, I think it is more of a movie about heartbreak than it is about love. It's not a love story.
Yeah.
And it's not a rom-com. It's a realistic idea of heartbreak. And I think his heartbreak is super relatable. I think he's really dramatic smashing plates on the table. But I remember watching that and feeling sad, because being broken up with and like going through a breakup is heartbreaking. And I know what that feels like. And like, I think me being heartbroken was different, but that feeling still sucks.
And
I remember being heartbroken, and I was really depressed for a long time afterwards, and like it took me a really long time to like come back to the world, and I relate to that, and that's painful to watch. But
yeah,
I feel like my expectations on love the whole time were very different than his, so I don't want to compare myself too much to him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's something that's really interesting about the film, was that it can be interpreted in so many different ways, depending on who's watching it. And Tom has a layer of being sympathetic and relatable. It's just like, to what extent people can just interpret them in different ways. Like, I think that the film is not a super like black and white type of film, which I think is really cool. For lack of better words. So I think we're done. Thank you so much for watching. And thank you, Sophia, for joining us today for this really fun, riveting conversation.
Truly riveting.
On 500 Days of Summer and just relationships and dating and middle school. And If you would like to find Sophia on the interwebs, she actually has a plant Instagram, an Instagram where she talks about gardening and planting, and she makes really fun, cute content. Even if you don't really, if you aren't even into gardening, like the content's still really entertaining and engaging, and I really like it. And it's just a lot of positive vibes. So you should go and check it out. It's at Sophia's Green Garden. That's Sophia.
The PH.
And then Green Garden. And I'll have it linked in the description and stuff. And Sophia, I don't know if there's any other places that people can find you. I don't know if you want to share your personal.
I've made two YouTube videos.
Yes, you have. You have.
No idea if I'll make more, but it exists.
Yes. One of them is about
they're Ireland. So different. And they're like such different videos. I have one that's explaining international politics, and I thought I was going to make a YouTube channel about that. And so it's about very specific international dispute. And then the other one is me in quarantine post-COVID dissecting a sunflower.
And they're both great. They're both great videos. I recommend that if you're watching this, that you check out both of them.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you want more of my weirdness, it exists on the internet. Yeah. Two places in small amounts.
And what is the name of that channel that people can find you at?
On That's a great question. I think it's just Sophia Roberts. Okay. Really, if you look up watered down history and politics, it's more likely to pop up.
Well, whatever it is, I will link it in the description.
I don't even remember. Sorry.
It's okay.
See, this is what I do. I laugh when I'm uncomfortable.
We're seeing it in action, folks.
Anyways, thank you so much for having me here. I'm a longtime fan of Zoria, and I was really excited to be here. It was such an honor. Thank you for listening, whoever made it this far. Wow, you can really listen to my voice for a while, and I appreciate that about you.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. I hope you have beautiful, wonderful days, and that, you have a beautiful, wonderful day.
Yes. Have a beautiful, wonderful day. If you enjoyed this episode, maybe like, share, subscribe, all of those fun things, and maybe share this episode with a fellow friend that you watched 500 Days of Summer with like 10 years ago, and share it with them and rewatch it and talk about what you think about it.
Please rewatch it with a friend, like with friends. And then you should take a picture of your rewatching party and tag Virgin and the Bees. I think that'd be great.
Please do. Please do. Yes. Tag us. We are on Instagram at the Virgin and the Bees podcast, and you spell out the and rather than use an ampersand, because Instagram does not let you use ampersands in usernames, which is unfortunate, but yes, definitely tag us, story, post, whatever, and let us know what you thought about it.
Totally okay if you disagree with me. You can let me know. I don't mind.
All right. Well, keep on buzzing.